Hey everybody, and welcome to a brand new episode of The Console Lock, episode number 73. So back to have you around here again today. Matthew, how are you doing today?
I am doing excellent. I am Backstreet's back today.
Backstreet is back. We're recording this on a Monday, and it was pretty rainy Monday here in Manhattan, but one that I...
And windy! So windy!
Oh my god, I'm in a tall building, and I was in conference rooms, and legit, the building was creaking, and it was... scary.
Yeah, I went outside this morning in shorts, and then I regretted that later in the day.
Oh yeah, so. The temperature dropped real fast.
Yeah, with all that wind.
Man, that was horrible. It's almost as bad as the code I wrote today. That's neither here nor there. So a few things we want to talk about beginning of the episode. First of all, very excited to announce that we have officially announced a Patreon account to help support Matthew and I in creating this podcast. If you like what we're doing and you want to support us with money, which is a rare commodity, you are welcome to contribute to our fund to help us keep on recording, making these episodes, helping you stay on top of the latest JavaScript news and also be entertained along the way.
Yeah, we love all of you. We love our listeners. Harry and I recently ran some numbers and realized I think between the two of us, we've spent about $1,000.
Yeah, the money adds up real fast.
Yeah, so anyway, we would love to get some of that back and maybe pay for future expenses. So please, if you can shoot us a couple of dollars, we appreciate it. If you give us $5 or more, I will personally mail you stickers. Yes, I write all the letters and mail all the stickers. And we do have new supersized stickers exclusively for Patreon supporters and people we meet at conferences. So if you're not going to meet us in real life, donate to our Patreon.
Yeah, we set scale to 2x. That's a CSS joke. That was for free. You don't have to spend anything for that one. And of course, we're so excited to actually already have our first Patreon supporters. How, you may be asking? Well, they follow us on Twitter. If you're not on Twitter, don't worry. But if you do want to get that early scoop, that first catch of the day, Twitter's the place for that. But thank you so much to Jeremy, Mary, Mike, and Luis. So excited to have you be supporters of the podcast, and we look forward to saying your names more often in the future.
We appreciate all of you, yes.
Yeah, we look forward to your next $1,000 contributions to help pay for our yachts and everything there.
Speaking of and by 1,000, we mean 5.
Well, 1,000 pennies. I mean, I'm not going to count all of them, but they'll still make me happy. In other exciting news, we were featured, I think, for the first time on a blog post called JavaScript and React Podcast, the Ultimate Guide to Web Development Podcast, and we are on this list. That was awesome.
Yeah, it was pretty exciting. They said that we are funny and intelligent, and we talk about JavaScript and the web.
These are things, I mean, they've definitely listened to at least part of an episode. Maybe if they listened to the entire thing, they would have revised what they said, but I'm glad for small favors.
I don't think they would have included the word intelligent if they listened through my jokes.
That is for sure. They definitely should have had that mentioned, because I think that is definitely the highlight of our episodes. We're actually 4 on this list. Out of like 7 podcasts, we're the 4th one in. We're not even the last one on the list. We're not even an afterthought.
Yeah, we are a midway thought. We are a...
We're in a tarabang. We're an interjection. Somebody was mid-sentence and they was like, oh wait, the console log. And then they went back to writing their blog posts.
Well, yeah, because they log things as they're writing code.
That is the way to do it. I have a new YouTube video up, as always, every Monday. Don't know how or why I do it every day, every week, but that's what I do. The new video is about React Inc., a very exciting piece of technology that lets you write command line programs with React. And if that piques your curiosity, check out the YouTube channel. Go to my website, hswolf.com. That's Wolf with 2 F's, extra F for finally, I'll be done talking through this intro.
I have gotten nothing done publicly, but I am most of the way through my React Norway talk, which I'm very excited about. I'm going to be doing a sneak preview of that at Use React NYC, which Harry and I are hosting. We'll talk about more about that in a second. And I need to get started on my TypeScript talk for the React Loop crew, which is also in June. So I am working hard on those things that you will see in a few months. Harry, do you want to tell our listeners about this meetup we're running that we accidentally mentioned mid-episode last time?
Oh, yes. Yeah. So Matthew, myself, Dominic, and Jen, two other people that we're friends with, have started a new meetup in New York City.
Did you say Dominic?
Oh, I meant Donovan. Thank you for that correction.
Donovan, Harry loves you.
Oh, I love you. I think you got me on a whole song kick when you were saying hooked on something, hooked on a feeling. And then I was thinking about Dominic the Donkey. My whole mind is scatterbrained. But yeah, Donovan, Jen, Matthew, myself started a new meetup called Use React NYC. If you are in the greater New York City area, we are having the first meetup hosted at my Alma company. I don't know what the Latin phrase for that is.
It's not alma mater. You work there.
Yeah, it's my current matter. It's what matters the most to me. Is that how Latin works? It's being hosted at MongoDB, where I work. If you are looking to get some React knowledge to meet either of us in person, we will be there with stickers that will probably ask you to swipe your card through our Square payment system before getting it. No, I'm kidding. That's a joke. We'll happily give you a couple of stickers for free. But come out. It's May 7th, which is a Tuesday. We'll be there. You'll be there. React will be there. Matthew's giving a talk there. Jen's giving a talk there. There'll be food, people.
Jared Palmer's emceeing.
Yeah, you know, it's going to be the whole kit and caboodle, as the people back in the 30s used to say.
It is going to be the big booyah.
The big booyah. Speaking of booyahs,
let's hit the music.
Let's do it.
In our first piece of news, we are going to talk about Microsoft Edge. Yes, they are releasing preview builds. So they recently published a blog post called The Next Step in Our OSS Journey, and they are going to start providing Canary and developer builds for Microsoft Edge. Right now, they're only available for Windows 10, but if you want to give it a try, you can, and it will be coming soon to Linux and Mac OS. Harry, do you have anything to add about the bleeding edge of Microsoft?
Well, the big exciting thing about this next build of Microsoft's browser is it's using Chromium underneath the hood. That means that all your websites that you've made, that you've only ever QA'd on Chrome, will now work in the latest version of Microsoft Edge without any additional QAing. So score one for laziness, score less one for diversity on the web.
Yeah, you know who I feel bad for? I feel bad for Windows users out of this, actually, because Edge was the only way we were actually testing the way scroll bars work on Windows, which happens to be the same across all browsers. So there are going to be so many new scroll bar bugs as a result of Microsoft releasing a cross-platform browser.
I mean, there's many reasons why they did that, and hopefully they'll take that into account and just make developers... If they make developers' lives easier, then they'll make users' lives better. The fact that it's such of a pain to test on Windows and IE and having it be different means that people just don't. So now there's I don't know, if someone told me that, like, hey, Microsoft Edge is using Chromium, that means that if you develop for Chrome on the Mac, it'll be 90% correct for Windows. I don't know if I'd take that extra 10% effort to make it just as perfect.
You know what? I was thinking about this earlier today, and it's kind of funny that this happens to be under the brand name Microsoft Edge, because if you were to just, like, kind of think back for a second and say, okay, we have a company that owns the most popular dialect of JavaScript, the most popular open source editor for web development code, it's not surprising that they would ship a cross-platform browser based on Chromium.
That's fair. That's a good point.
It's just under a terrible brand name.
Yeah, I'm still so confused about that. I mean, I'm probably so confused about all of it because I don't use Windows daily. If I was a Windows user, I'd probably go, oh, yeah, Windows IE 10, IE 11, then Windows Edge, Microsoft Edge is like the next thing that just keeps moving things forward.
You know what reminds me of this, actually? This is totally a non sequitur, but have you been on Dig in the last 2 years?
Nope.
Dig is amazing. Dig is now all curated news. It is a beautiful website, and I don't understand why they bothered with this brand, because everyone's just like, oh, Dig is bad Reddit. Like, they're surprised it's still around.
That is throwing Bad Bunny after.
But it's Good a great Bunny. Website now. And it's owned by different people. Someone just bought the brand.
I mean, what is exciting to me about Microsoft investing in Chromium is that potentially it means that Chromium's rate of features and improvements are going to multiply. Because now you have two huge dev teams. Yeah, hopefully. I mean, there's this whole mailing list of people doing intent to develop in the Chromium project, and that's already seeing more things that are interesting to me that are picking up. I mean, that is the power of open source, making people collaborate on things that can be appreciated by so many people for effectively free. Speaking of things in open source, there's a very interesting project published by the United States Web Design System.
Who knew we had one?
So actually, when I read this, I don't know if you remember, when we were at React Rally, we met somebody who worked there. Or somebody that was related to this whole system. I met someone there.
I'm like vaguely remembering now that you tell me, yeah. But I don't know if you're just inceptioning my memory.
Well, that's fine with me. In any case, they published a open source typeface for text and display. It wasn't for very late in my career until I realized the importance of having a nice font and how much flavor and character can add to a website. And a lot of the best fonts are not free. And me as a solo developer, I don't always have the budget to want to spend on these very expensive fonts. And this is a freely published font that you could use in your website that looks pretty good.
It's beautiful, actually.
Yeah, it's very nice. And it's just not a thing that you really hear about every day, of having someone publish a free font.
There's Open Sans, so now there's also Public Sans, and I'm interested to see how they compare to each other. I have not checked that out. But yeah, it's a very cool font. I would definitely use it. By the way, side note from fonts, Harry, I have some breaking news for you.
Oh, yeah?
I was just checking Twitter. I have multiple displays as we're going, and one of them is on Twitter, and Jem Young just tweeted the ultimate hot take. Nutella is overrated. Thoughts, Harry?
Nope, not going to bite into that one.
Yeah, Jem, you are just very wrong, and we are recording this as you are tweeting this.
I know many people that do think Nutella is overrated. I think it's rated just fine.
Jem Young is very wrong. You know what is not overrated? In fact, it's probably underrated, is React Redux. Yes, the library that integrates React and Redux. It is the glue between two of the most important libraries on the planet, and we often forget how important this glue layer is. And they have released version 7.0.1. So version 7 includes a new under-the-hood implementation of the connect layer. So what it does is it uses hooks as opposed to the new context API. And it is supposed to be the most performant version of React Redux they've ever shipped. So I'm really excited about this. It's a new major version because it requires a new version of one of the dependencies. So now it requires a min version of React 16.8.4. But anyway, yeah, give it a try. It's supposed to be hella fast.
Yeah, I'm itching to get it into my work application, but I have not yet done that. But it's supposed to be API compatible. It's supposed to be everything. If you've already gone from 5 to 6, going from 6 to 7, it shouldn't be too much effort there as well. But with any large change, definitely test your application, because there's always little gotchas that creep into under the surface.
On a very related issue, there is a discussion issue on the React Redux GitHub that is talking about a potential hooks API design. So right now, everything is under the hood. And while some of those things may surface kind of into the public layer, they don't consider these final APIs. So give that issue a look and maybe comment on what you think the API should be in the future.
Yeah, the hooks for React Redux is definitely the last big missing piece to make writing a whole Redux application with hooks a pleasant experience. They propose some possible hooks they'd expose, use select, use actions, use dispatch, use store, use Redux. Nothing's done yet. They're still talking about it. As with most issues on the React Redux repos, it is very thorough. It is more thorough than most essays I wrote in college, and I'm sure they'll get it right.
Exactly.
Another new release this past week is my little favorite underdog library, Reason React. Reason React is an implementation of React written in the Reason ML language. Reason ML is a dialect of OCaml, which is a functional language that is completely type safe. That was a long mouthful, but the big Exciting thing about that is the person, one of the people that originally wrote React back in the day is now working on ReasonML and Reason React. So this is kind of their new passion to see kind of where the skate is going, if you want to, or the puck is going, to see if you want to skate towards it. And the big deal with this new release of Reason React 0.7.0 is it finally supports React hooks. Not only that, it actually now allows you to write Reason React components with functions. Before, you still have to use this kind of weird object-based syntax for writing a React component in Reason, and now they're kind of embracing the future, the possible future of React, which is functions, which ReasonML does great with, and having that be the way that you write your Reason React components. So there is no better time than now to start playing around with Reason React if you have a curiosity in it. It's a very interesting library. It's a different language, which means that it's definitely a little bit hard to get up and running, but the more, it's kind of interesting to see the worlds of React in JavaScript and the world of Reason React in ReasonML merge, as they kind of combine, they put the same idea into both libraries, and the way in which those libraries look start to merge, which is fascinating to see happen.
I have no words.
But you have a reason to react.
I do have a reason to react. Other release that came out that I am very excited about is MDX has finally hit version 1.0. So if you're not familiar with MDX, it is Markdown X. The X stands for iPhone X. No, the X stands for, I don't know, markup or something. Anyway,
it's a playoff of JSX.
Right. It is Markdown with built-in JavaScript / components. So my favorite implementation of MDX is MDX Deck, which is what I use for all of my slides for tech talks. So it is a great way to write tech talks and like put your slides in Markdown. And then whenever you need anything remotely customizable, you just start writing React and it's beautiful. So I'm really excited that this hit version 1.0. I'm excited to see what they ship going forward. And maybe we'll see like MDX take over a lot of implementations of Markdown as well.
Yeah, I mean, the story of MDX is fascinating. I think that the first time that somebody actually thought of MDX was through a Twitter conversation where people were just kind of thinking aloud online on Twitter, and they had a conversation on there, and then somebody was like, I love this, and just started to implement it. And people started, and they published their first version of the implementation, and it just kept growing from there. And it fixes a lot of the pain points that I've had in the past writing a blog post even. So writing blog posts, most of the time I write in Markdown because that's the easiest way for me as an engineer to write code. But every so often you want to actually have an interactable code snippet, like some piece of code that you write that you want to actually have workable on the page. And whenever that happens, you have to write your own custom page, all this custom logic. And all you want to do is just kind of inject that in the middle of your Markdown file. And that's what MDX lets you do. Very, very brilliant idea. Very smart.
It's super cool. And you know, I bet it came out of a shit post.
I wouldn't be surprised at all. speaking of shit posts,
that is a burn.
Yeah, that is a burn. So I think was it only last week that we were talking about NPM?
It's the negative post machine.
Ooh, yeah. I feel like it was only last week with Sean on the podcast with NPM, had his whole NPM layoff scandal. Ugh, a scandal with what's the gossip columnist that always like does things? I'm forgetting that. Whatever. I watch gossip. Like celebrity gossip.
Perez Hilton.
TMZ.
TMZ. Who writes for Perez Hilton? Writes for TMZ.
Well, there you go. But the TMZ of the Twitter sphere was aghast with NPM's horrible treatment of its employees, and they published a blog post. Which isn't even... The title of the blog post is Statement from NPM. It's not even, like, apology for... This is the most, like, VC-backed corporate thing that they could have done, which has made people very sad that have followed NPM for a long time.
Is this the worst apology you've seen in the last month?
Ha! Far from it. There was a week where there was a lot of reactions that were pretty bad.
Oh!
I'm not saying anything. You don't know what I'm talking about. Also, the comments in this post is disabled. Now I'm just looking at it.
We had a great talk with Sarah Fetterman about she wants to give a lightning talk on how to give an apology, and I agree. There is no better time than now for that lightning talk.
I mean, my lightning talk would consist of two words.
Speaking of lightning talks, so we had Hack Week last week at Dropbox, where it's just like a week of fun and everyone does whatever they want. So aside from building an absurd amount of Lego, I also, and working on my talks, I also gave a lightning talk on my favorite band, Green Day. Yes, you
Wait,
may know
your
me.
Your favorite band is Green Day? I've never heard this before, Matthew. Harry you... says with extreme sarcasm.
So the funny thing is, though, most of my internet followers, my fan base, if you will, I have no fans.
My There's fans a lot of, are like bots that just like tweet images of fans at you. That's your fan base.
Anyway, the base to my fan. It only ever hears me talking about my girl Taylor Swift. But actually, at 8 years old, I decided that Green Day was going to be my favorite band ever, and I have stuck by that. So anyway, I gave a lightning talk on that. I have a video that I will look into sharing.
Oh, dear.
And it's all about how nobody cares about punk rock.
Well, and you never apologize for being a fan of Green Day.
I never will.
Nor, but maybe NPM should for some other thing.
Speaking of things that no one needs to apologize for, Stack Overflow released their developer survey results for 2019. It's a really interesting and very in-depth survey. I know we talk about quite a few of these, but this one is across the entire industry, across all languages. Of course, JavaScript and TypeScript are just trending like always. And there's a lot of interesting pieces of data. Harry, did you have anything that particularly stuck out to you?
I mean, it's always great to see JavaScript at the top of the list of popular technologies. It's completely eating the world.
JavaScript is eating the world. You also heard it here first, folks. What were you going to say?
The most top paying tech, they have a whole, so like they break up the results into sections. They have a technology section. One is the top paying technologies, and they break it down by global and United States. Globally, the top paying language, if you use this language and you go anywhere in the world, the one that is most likely to pay the most is Clojure with 90,000. F Sharp is second with 80,000, and Go is third with 80,000. But if you're in the United States, the top three is Scala, Clojure, and Go. So I guess that means you can't go wrong with Go and Clojure. Although Clojure, that is a heck of a language. Very lispy. But I definitely encourage you to, as always, take a look at yourself. It's always interesting to get a pulse on the community at large. And this was a large community pulse that they took. It was over 90,000 developers, which is...
very impressive.
It's one more than how many fingers I have, which is to say that I have 89,999 fingers. We're not going to go into that right now.
You must type so fast.
I get like jams, like old typewriters, where you just have to back
out. Well, that's why you got to switch to Dvorak.
I've thought about that, honestly.
Speaking of... sorry.
Go on.
Anyway, speaking of surveys on the internet, so FreeCodeCamp has launched the front-end tooling survey for 2019, which we recommend you fill out because we love data and we love seeing data. It's big data, folks.
Big data.
It starts off with a bunch of CSS questions and then gets into JavaScript questions. Something I found really interesting about this was they ask your familiarity level with things, and they also ask like comfort level. And the reason I found this so interesting is they also ask it about things like Backbone and jQuery. And it's like, well, I used to be an expert on those subjects, but now I haven't used those in years. So have I heard of them? What do I put?
I mean, if you were a witch and you had a cat, that would be your familiar. Sorry,
it's
I just
true.
Wanted to say that.
That is how familiars work. By the way, back to our back to our newest segment, Breaking Tweets. This is new segment for the podcast.
This is the first and last time.
This is where Matthew leaves Twitter.
Am I boring you, Matthew? Am I boring you?
No, but this one is so good. This is from Alan Henry. And it says, imagine being so attractive that the only thing you have on your Tinder profile is your Instagram handle.
Damn.
I thought that was excellent. He is part of the theater Twitter crowd that I follow. So, and he's his tagline says that he is a zero-time Tony Award winner. So good for him.
I mean, that Twitter. So many groups, so many communities. So
breaking tweets. Harry, why don't you query us up something different?
So everyone's favorite original gangster framework. That's right. If there was a mob of frameworks, this would be the OG, the Godfather. Oh, jQuery would definitely be the Godfather of frameworks.
It would be like, the Godfather having a heart attack, yes.
Yeah, be like, you come to me with this query selector all, asking me how to find an element on this day of all days, a Stack Overflow.
On the day of new browser release.
jQuery 3.4.0 was released. It's still around. It's still going. I'm updating it at work because we use jQuery at work. That wasn't a joke. That was not a joke.
That's better than any joke I can tell.
We have Backbone, and Backbone requires
jQuery. Wait, did you update your version of Backbone a couple weeks ago?
It's in the queue. We have to stay current for all releases. It's part of
what are you going
to
do if the next major version of Backbone requires a new version of jQuery?
Oh, we will have to upgrade it. it's both a gift. Like, most jobs I've been at, I've always loved upgrading libraries, and sometimes a library was not worth upgrading. So at Mongo, we have to stay current to make sure we have the latest security vulnerabilities fixed and all these things. And it's both a gift and a curse because it means that we're always current, but also means that we always have to have the pain of dealing with a update from Backbone after 3 years of no releases. What? Why?
At least you didn't have to update underscore.
Yeah, we did. Everything. Everything has to be updated, Matthew. That's the point.
I just assumed you weren't using underscore.
You have to with Backbone.
Why not use Lodash?
Because that requires a huge migration of compatibility. Like, we could, but that's, like, not just staying on the bleeding edge. That's migrating.
And I wrote a blog post about that.
Yeah, well, luckily for us, this is a podcast. Any case, this whole thing was hijacked. jQuery 3.4.0 was released. It has some minor updates, and they're going to start focusing on jQuery 4, which I hope they codename the Gettysburg Address. Because then they could say it's 4 score and 7 years. I don't know. Shut up. that's the latest news. Matthew, let's tell some people some things that are actually jokes instead of people laughing at reality.
Do you want to sing the song?
What?
Do you want to sing the song?
Yeah, I'll sing. You want to sing with me?
No, I can't sing a song about myself. That's weird.
Matthew's jokes. This is the part where Matthew tells jokes. Matthew's, what actual jokes do you have for us today?
Well, I'm going to read another tweet first.
Oh, my God.
Although this one is from me much earlier today, which is just a fact.
You can't quote yourself.
Yeah, I can, and then I'll tell real jokes.
Fine, so, I'll quote myself, too. I want to say a joke about... All right, fine. You go on.
So I posted, and this is actually true. Whenever I see two people typing in Slack, I start typing nonsense so that everyone else gets several people are typing.
Oh, I always wanna just type really fast, loud noises. Loud noises is what I always wanna say.
Anyway, real jokes. So I found this new Slack extension called I Ken Has Dad Joke and the new type slash dad joke and you get a dad joke. So these are great. So the first one is, astronomers got tired watching the moon go around the Earth for 24 hours. They decided to call it a day.
Yeah, that joke will take some time to really hit home.
Speaking of space, I've just been reading a book about anti-gravity. It's impossible to put down.
Well, if you were a bodybuilder, maybe you could.
And speaking of books, a book just fell on my head. I have only my shelf to blame.
Uh-huh. Maybe a console log fell on your head, too. Hey, self five. Yeah.
Harry, you want to read us one of your tweets?
I'll read you one of my tweets. Ready? It's, hey, remember jQuery plugins?
I remember that tweet.
That's when I was upgrading jQuery. That's why I tweeted that. I went to the jQuery website, and all of a sudden on the jQuery website, I was like, oh, wait, there's a plugin set. Oh, my God, jQuery plugins. That was my whole train of thought.
I retweeted that just now. So if you saw me retweet that tweet, you can figure out when Harry and I were recording.
Yeah, you might have also heard my phone buzz on the desk with that. That's good. That is your Consolog episode number 73, the week of April 11th through April 17th. It is tax day here in the United States. Hopefully you've done your taxes. If not, Uncle Sam will make you Uncle Mad.
I paid my taxes.
I got a refund.
I got the opposite of that.
Oh, you refunded your refund.
I owed them money and I gave them said money.
And they said, "Thank you very much, Mr. Matthew."
No, they don't say thank you. They just take your money.
Well, maybe the government will contribute to our Patreon account.
I'll look into it. We're going to have to tell them about it next year.
Oh boy. Any last thoughts before we round out this last riveting episode of Logs of Consoles?
I am very proud of this episode. It's a little senile, but then again, what do you expect at 73?
Senile. Hey, I got a joke for you.
What's up?
What did Moses look upon in the desert? The senile. I don't know.
I see what you did there.
Yeah, well, we're an ocean apart, and together we'll find our way. I think it's a Green Day song, no?
No, but whoever said that we are very smart or very intelligent was just... I mean,
just, it's good. It's all good. Thank you, everybody. We'll see you again next week. See? No, I mean, you'll hear us again next week. Ah, shit.